Our text this evening you will find at the beginning of this psalm that we read, Psalm 14, in the first half of verse number 1, where it says, "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God." Now the Bible is a very special book. This is because it is God's word, it is true, it is perfect, it is eternal. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his heavenly Father in John 17 about the word of God, he said, "Thy word is truth." And being truth, it gives an honest picture, if you like, a true appraisal of man before God. And this being so, there are times when the Bible describes man as a fool. And when you come across the word fool in the Bible, it can describe one who is evil. It can describe one who is boastful, one who is self-confident, one who is thoughtless, one who is thick-headed, one who is empty and vain in their life, and one who is despised by others and scorned by others in this world. Tonight I want us to look at seven fools that you will find mentioned and described in the Bible. If you're not saved tonight, I pray that the record of these fools will encourage you tonight to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. And if you are a believer, may the record of these fools also encourage you to be out and out for God and to live unto Christ day by day for the glory of God. The first fool we come to is the atheistic fool, the one that is described in our text here this evening in Psalm 14, verse 1, where it says, "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God." This fool, he wishes there was no God. Hence he thinks in his heart, hence he speaks with his lips before others that there is no God for him. Despite all the evidence of God's existence and the power and in the beauty of God's creation, despite the witness of God's people and the Church of Christ, despite the witness of God's holy word, he wishes there was no God. And thus God in our text rightly describes him as a fool. You will see here that this man wishes there was no God. Why? Because he wants to live as he pleases. He wants to do as he wills himself in this world. Look at how this fool is described. At the end of verse 1 and verse 3 of the psalm, it says, "There is no God, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." Verse 3, "They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." That's the mark of the atheistic fool. The man, the woman, the young person who wants to do what they please. He wants to live as they please. Who does not want to consider God in their life? I wonder, is this atheistic fool a picture of one at our meeting tonight? Yes, despite the beauty of God's creation, despite the very fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, despite the witness of God's word to your soul, despite the witness of God's people and the Church of Christ to your life, you wish there was no God. My, you want to live as you please. You want to do as you please. Hence you wish, hence you think, hence you say, there is no God for me. Well, if this is the case of one in this meeting tonight, let me say this. God rightly calls you a fool. You see, it is folly to believe the lie of evolution. It is folly to deny the existence of God, the great creator of heaven and earth, the one to which all of us are accountable to. Oh yes, we see here the atheistic fool. But the second fool that I want you to look at tonight, you will find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the verse number 35 and the verse number 36. And this man we can title as the unbelieving fool. Listen to these two verses. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 35 and verse 36. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except they die. Here God's word describes those who doubt the resurrection of Christ. Also those who doubt the resurrection of the dead. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory, my such are overcome with unbelief. They will not believe the record of God's word. My such deny the power of God, and that he is able to raise the dead. Such deny the mighty power of God made known in the resurrection of Christ. And to such the word of God says, thou fool, the unbelieving fool. I wonder, is this unbelieving fool a picture of some individual in this gospel meeting tonight? True unbelief, through false religion, through false teaching, you deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You deny the resurrection of the dead at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior in power and in great glory. If that is you in this meeting tonight, then God rightly calls you a fool. Some years ago, I think about 25, 30 years ago, there was a Church of England bishop, the Bishop of Durham. He was called Bishop Jenkins, and he denied the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went so far as to say that it was nothing more than a conjuring trick. Well, you know, that man was only a fool. And God proved his power to him by striking his cathedral with lightning and setting it on fire. And he was made to see and realize the power of God Almighty. Oh, friend, at our meeting tonight, Christ has risen from the dead. It's the greatest fact of history. He has risen the third day from the grave. The Bible says he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, according to the plan and purpose of God. The great message of the Bible is this: he is risen. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it proves to you and I that his death upon the cross is sufficient. Sufficient to save you from your sins. Sufficient to save your soul from a lost eternity in hell itself. And I tell you this also, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and as sure as you sit in the meeting tonight, the Lord is returning. He is coming in power and in great glory. And when he comes again, the dead will rise from the grave. There will be great resurrection from the graveyards all around this country. And the Lord himself speaks of his coming and that resurrection in John chapter 5, verse 29. He says this: and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. How will it be with you on the day of resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in glory? Tell me, how will it be with you? Will you be resurrected unto life? Or will you be resurrected unto damnation? Oh, if you are to be resurrected unto life, you must be saved in time by the grace of God. The atheistic fool, the unbelieving fool. The third fool I want us to look at tonight is the shameless fool. And Solomon speaks about him in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and the verse number 9. When he says, "Our fools make a mock at sin." That word mock there, it means to scorn. It means to sneer. It means to laugh at sin. It means to belittle sin. It means to discount sin. Now, the person who treats sin in this fashion really thinks, yes, that they can do as they please. They think that sin is nothing to be considered. Sin is nothing to be concerned about. And speaking of such, God rightly calls that person a fool. Dear people in the meeting tonight, we see this mockery of sin every day in our godless society in which we live in this country and in this land. When people mock at sin, they laugh at sin, they belittle sin in every hand, in every quarter. I wonder, is this a picture of one in this gospel meeting tonight? You laugh at sin. You think it's nothing. You joke about it. You think it's something not to be concerned about. If that is you in this gospel meeting tonight, listen tonight not to my word, but to God's word. And God in his word calls you a fool. For he says, fools make a mock at sin. Well, we understand tonight that sin is a very serious matter with Almighty God. Sin, I tell you, your sin is something that God hates with a holy hatred. Sin is something that God hates. Not only this, your sin is something that God is grieved at. Why? Because God is a God who is infinitely holy. The Bible describes him as the one who is holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. You remember what it says in the book of Genesis in the days of Noah? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Oh, God is grieved, I tell you, with your sin. And my, your sin is something that you will be punished for. There are consequences with sin. And your sin is something that you will be punished for in the eternal flames of hell, of a lost eternity. You see, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Oh, I encourage you tonight, I exhort you to see as God sees sin. To see sin for what it is. It's no light thing, it's no joke thing, it's no play thing. There are serious consequences with sin, consequences that not only affect your life and time, but will affect your life and your soul for all of the countless years of eternity to come. And friends, sin is such a serious thing that God had to intervene in this world because of sin. And intervening in this world, what did God do? He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his eternal Son, his perfect Son, his sinless Son. He sent him into this world. What for? To die upon the cross, to shed his blood as a ransom to God. What for? To make a way of salvation from sin. The Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you see how serious a matter your sin is? To deal with your sin, to deal with my sin, God the Son had to come down from heaven's glory. He had to leave behind the worship of angels and come into this world and go willingly to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears has done what for? To make a way for you and I to be saved from the awful ruin and plight of our sins. The hymn writer rightly says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, the shameless fool. But as we move on tonight, in the fourth place, I want you to see the careless fool. Who is the careless fool? Well, turning your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. To the end of Christ's great Sermon on the Mount. And to the verse number 26, when Jesus speaks here of the man who built his house upon the foundation of sand. Look at verse 26 of Matthew chapter 7. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, notice, it shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And there Christ tells of that person who disregards the word of God. That person who refuses God's way of salvation, which is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice alone. And in doing so, what does this man do? What does this person do? He trusts in the sinking sands of his own good works for his salvation. Well, Christ in this verse rightly calls such a fool. Why? Because when the storm of God's wrath is poured out upon this world at the end of time, This man's false hope, this man's false scheme of salvation will collapse. It will fall down to the ground. It will be swept away, that refuge of lies that he's been depending upon. For look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the very next verse, verse number 27. It says, "And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house that was built upon the sifting sands of good works, and it fell, and great," notice, "it was the fall of it." You know, over the years in God's work, I've spoken to many people here in Market Hill, Donegal, many different places, and they've often told me how they have been depending upon their good works for their salvation. For some, and they will tell you, "Oh, it is my baptism." In fact, I was reading an order of service from a Church of Ireland baptismal service the other night. And in black and white, it was written there, through baptism, that child, that infant, was made an inheritor of the kingdom of God. What lies, what untruthfulness, what treachery, what deceit. But I've met many over the years, and they said, "Oh, my baptism is my ticket to heaven." There are others, and they'll tell you, "Oh, I'm depending upon my confirmation." The only thing confirmation do is to make you a confirmed sinner in the sight of God. There's others, and they'll tell you, "Oh, it is my communion, sitting at the Lord's table." No one saved person has any right to be at the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord is only for God's redeemed, blood-bought people. There's some, and they'll tell you, it is their church membership, and it is right that a believer be in membership of an evangelical church, but that in itself does not save. People will tell me, "I'm a good neighbor. I wouldn't do anybody any harm." And that's to be commendable in this violent age in which we live, to be good to our neighbors, but that does not guarantee salvation. There's some people, because they're a membership of some particular organization, they think that is their ticket to heaven and to salvation. There are others that say, I give to the poor. I read my Bible every day. Oh, I do the best I can. The Lord will not turn me away. The Lord will save me. Is that how it is with one in this meeting tonight? You're depending on some good work that you have done, or maybe what will hope to do in your life. Is that you? Then God's word has a message for you, and I say this in love to your soul and in faithfulness to your soul tonight. God's word says you're foolish. God's word says you're not wise. Why? Because salvation is not through any work of man. You see, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is only one work that can save your soul from sin. There is only one work that can save your soul from a lost eternity in hell. What is that work? That work is the finished sacrifice, the finished work of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. What does the Bible say of Christ? "But now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And if you're depending tonight upon your good works, or somebody has told you that on account of your good works or some ritual or some rite or ceremony of religion that you can be saved, you're depending upon a broken stick. You're depending upon a refuge of lies. For there's only one work that can save your soul. That is the work of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, God forbid that there should be one here in this meeting. And you're like this careless fool, building your hope of salvation upon your good works or something of man. But notice fifthly tonight, notice the busy fool. Who is the busy fool? Turning your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks in the parable about a certain rich man, a certain rich farmer. And in verse 18 of Luke chapter 12, Christ here is reiterating what this man thinks and what this man says, how he ticks, so to speak. And this is what it says in verse 18 of Luke 12. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You'll see there that that man is not a skeptic. The man there is one who believes he has a soul. The man there is one who believes in eternity. He's a man who does not mock at sin. He is a thoughtful man. He's an enterprising man. He's an active man. He is a good businessman. He's a man that has done well and fared well in life. And no doubt in his day he was one who would have been well praised and well thought of by his peers and society. But sadly, you'll see here that this man's chief concern, what was it? It was his earthly goods. Hence, God called him a fool. You see, he was deceived with the busyness of life. He was deceived with the gathering together of earth's riches. But he was a man who had no time for God. He was a man who neglected the most important possession that he had, and that was his never-dying precious soul. He had time for everything but God. He had time for everything but his soul, his most priceless possession. Tell me, is this busy man a picture of some individual in this meeting tonight? All you live for is the things of this life. All you live for is the amassing of wealth. But in the midst of it all, you have no time for God. You have no time for your soul. You have no time for the things of God. As the hymn writer says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place in which he can enter in the heart for which he died. No room for Christ, no room for God. Busy in room for everything else in this world. Dear friend, if that is you in this meeting tonight, God describes you with these words, not my words, but his own words. Thou fool, thou fool. Let me make it very clear, all the riches of this world cannot save your soul from sin. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You come into this world with nothing, and you will leave this world with nothing. You will leave it all behind. The Bible says, riches make themselves wings. They fly away. You may put your riches under lock and key here on earth, but one day they'll be taken from you. One day you'll leave them all behind. One day they will fly away. My friend, you are not here forever. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says your life is like a vapor that is here a little moment and it is gone. Oh, if you are to be wise, you need to lay up treasure in heaven. If you are to be wise, you need to be rich toward God. Hence Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The way to have treasure in heaven, the way for you to be rich toward God, is to put your faith and your trust in the Lord for salvation and to start living for God. God forbid that you're like that busy fool that the Lord describes and mentions in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. Notice sickly tonight the proud fool. Who is the proud fool? Where do we find the proud fool? Turn over to Romans chapter 1. And to the verse 22 and the verse number 21, and there you'll find described that the proud fool. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 22. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These words here, they describe those who know that God exists. They are those who will not glorify God. They are those who will not acknowledge God. There is no thanksgiving here to God or appreciation to God of his mercies. And such are vain in their own imagination. And instead of heeding God's word and heeding God's will for their lives, they deliberately and willfully choose the way of sin. Choose a way that is completely contrary to God. Such love the darkness of sin and the darkness of this world rather than the light of God and rather than the light of God's word. And do you notice there in those two verses twice over, God describes such as fools. He says their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became as fools. You know, if God says something once in his word, we should listen. But if God says something twice, even the same thing in the space of two verses, how we should sit up and listen and to take note what God is saying here and what God is speaking. Tell me, is this how it is with one in the meeting tonight? You know there's a God in heaven. You know that the Bible is right. Yet you will not acknowledge God and his goodness to you. You refuse to heed his word. You refuse to repent of your sin and to trust him as Savior. Oh, that is you in this gospel meeting tonight. And God says your way is foolish. Your way is the way of folly. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard way, the way of sin and rebellion to God. The Lord says in his word, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There's no peace for the person who turns away from God. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. Oh, the devil wind addresses sin, but it is short-lived. That pleasure is only for a little time. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The Bible says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Remember the prodigal son who went away from the father's house and the home of love and the home of provision. He went to the far country, spent his substance in riotous living. What does the Bible say about that young man? It says he began to be in want. Her sister was singing earlier on about having peace in her soul with God. But that prodigal son in the far country had no peace with God. You see, there is no peace. There is no satisfaction in sin, in living for self, living for a way that is contrary to God. Contrary to his word. Oh, may this proud fool be a warning to all in this meeting tonight. May we have looked at the atheistic fool. May we have looked at the shameless fool, the unbelieving fool, the proud fool. But finally tonight, I want you to see the Christian fool. Turning your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the verse number 10, and there you'll find mention of the Christian fool. Here Paul is speaking. Listen to what he says. He says, we are fools for Christ's sake. And there the Apostle Paul is speaking. And he's saying that in the eyes of man and the eyes of the world, he was so despised and considered a fool for the sake of Christ. But you know, it was infinitely far better for Paul to be a fool for Christ than to be the devil's fool. And to be the world's fool. You see, Paul was a man who had repented of his sins. Paul was a man who had trusted Christ and his sacrifice alone for salvation. He could speak of Christ and he could say of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that the forgiveness of sins. My Paul was a man who lived for Christ, who lived for the word of God. He could say to the church at Philippi, for to me to live is Christ. Paul was a man who loved the work of God. Paul was a man who loved the place of prayer. Paul was a man who loved the fellowship of God's people. Paul was a man who loved the word of God. Paul was a man who loved the souls of men. And Paul was a man who was saved from hell. Paul was a man on his way to heaven. He could speak of heaven and say, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul was a man who could rejoice in the presence of God when everyone else had left him. He could say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He was a man who rejoiced in the sufficiency of the grace of God. For he could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Friend, let me ask you tonight in this meeting, is this a picture of you? As you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, let me ask, are you a fool for Christ? Are you saved tonight? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you that assurance in your heart of eternal life in heaven? Are you rejoicing in the Lord's presence? Are you proving day by day the wonder of God's grace? Are you living for Christ? Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the place of prayer? Do you love the Sabbath day? Is the Sabbath day the best day of the week for you? Do you love the people of God? Do you love the work of God? Are you witnessing of the love of Christ and God's salvation to poor and needy sinners? Oh, this is what it means, my friend, to be a fool for Christ, a fool for God's Son. Oh, if this is not so in your life, then I would urge you tonight to come by faith to Christ. Come as a repentant sinner and lay hold upon Christ by faith. Trust Him as your Savior and start living for Christ from this night forth. Jesus says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll not cast you out if you come to Him for salvation. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He will give you abundant life, the life of a capital L. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He will take you into heaven. How did He make this way of salvation? By going to the cross. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Friend, tonight I urge you, come now, this very moment, to Christ. Start living for Christ. And I tell you this, being a fool for Christ is the only life, I tell you, that's worth living. It is the blessing of God in time. And the blessing of God in eternity. Oh, don't go out of the meeting, the devil's fool, or the world's fool. You go out of the meeting tonight, a fool for Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. And seek by His grace and power to live for His glory and for His honor. Until the Lord comes, until the Lord calls you home to glory, to be with Himself. We're going